We've got, I started to say how much time we have, but I don't want to be rebuked sharply by Brother Ned after service. So we got all the time in the world till Jesus comes. Joshua chapter number 3. We've been in the New Testament for, I didn't realize, which it really don't matter. It's God's word is God's word, but I hadn't preached out of the Old Testament in months that I can remember. And very familiar chapter and portion of God's word, Joshua chapter number 3. You've been seated a while. Let's stand together. Reverence God's word and let you stretch your legs a moment. If you're there, say amen. Verse 1, Joshua chapter number 3. The Bible says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. And he and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. Skip down, if you will, to verse number 14. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bare the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bare the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon the heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. As we said, this is a very familiar text. I'm sure you have read this and heard it preached on. I know you've heard it preached on. I preached about 3 or 4 weeks out of this passage. I think it was sometime early last year on the transitions of time and how that God, that verse says that you've not been this way before. And but this evening, I want to deal with it from a more practical basis and standpoint and preach on the subject of how to cross your Jordan. In the Christian life, we will all come to places that seems to be unpassable, that seems to be a dead end, gone as far as we can physically go. And if God don't step in and intervene on our behalf, it will be. And so because the children of Israel and their unbelief, they had been sentenced to 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and there they had been. And those years had now at this point come to an end, and God was getting ready to move them on and into the land of Canaan, the land of promise. And they are ready to claim their inheritance and the land of promise. However, before they can get from the wilderness into Canaan, there's something between them and their promise, and it's this Jordan River. And normally, the Jordan River would not have presented that big of a problem. Normally, I've been there. I'll never forget going to the Jordan River and standing up over it, me and the preacher and my brother and a couple of Jenny and Brother E.J. Smith. And we looked down at the Jordan River, remember, and big old catfish swimming. I mean, they looked big as you. I mean, they were huge catfish. And Brother E.J. said, "Find me a fishing pole. Find me a fishing pole." We laughed and had a good time. But it was just a little bit. It looked like a creek almost. wasn't wide. Seemed very crossable. But at this time of the year, normally at most it was 100 feet wide at Gilgal where they crossed at. But it seems God always does things in such a way that no man can end up getting the glory, but that God himself will receive the glory. And the crossing of Jordan would be no different. God brought them to the Jordan River at the time of harvest. And those who have been there during the harvest time tell us, and if you study about it, the Jordan River would become impassable. It would become just a raging river and would spread and widen up to a mile wide from 100 feet. And that's the time that God chose to carry them across and send them across, 50 times wider than it normally would be. And boy, ain't that how it is in life. Some things that we've crossed over and over, and it almost could do it in our sleep. There's other times in the Christian life you'll face, and we've faced times that you would think we could cross, and then it becomes incrossable. It becomes a place that if God don't help, it will not be done. And we each have Jordans that we face from time to time. We look at the obstacles that stand between us and the spiritual victory that we so desire and crave. There's times in my Christian life where prayer is a thing that I look forward to. Then there's other times that it seems impossible. It seems like you just saying and praying words, and they're hollow, and heaven is just so far, and it's so hard. And other times, God will just come down and meet with you, and it's like you're talking to God face to face. Reading the Bible is another. Sometimes you just get in God's Word, and the letters just stand up, salute, and march off the pages right into your heart, and God feeds you, and it's a wonderful thing. Then there's others, not just times, but seasons, where you will, time and time and time again, you'll go to the Word of God, and it seems like it's just black letters on white pages, and it becomes a difficult thing to do. And then there's broader and harder crossings in the Christian life that we face, and we need the help of God to get us through. But we all have these Jordan rivers to cross. However, if we do cross them, even when they're hard, and that seems to be the greatest time to cross and the hardest that the devil will fight, because on the other side of a wide crossing, on the other side of a hard, treacherous crossing is victory, is a land of promise and a land of plenty and a land of milk and honey and a place where you can fellowship with God. And God will test us, and sometimes God will be silent on purpose to see if we will pursue and see if we will just lay down and quit like many did. Many, their carcasses died in the wilderness because they wasn't willing to go and make the crossing. And in the Christian life, we got to all recognize and understand to get to victory, to get to a land of promise, it's going to require some absolute determination and some stick to it and some depending on God when it seems impossible. Right. getting saved was absolutely easy and free, free of charge. Didn't cost you or me a penny. But getting to Canaan will absolutely cost us all. And it'll be fought. It'll be tested by God, and it'll be tried and tempted by the devil. And we must pursue and depend on God. I don't know what kind of obstacles you're facing in your life this evening, but I do know a God who specializes in overcoming and overwhelming leading us and all the children of God to victory. God doesn't he does not want us living in defeat. God don't want us dying in the wilderness. God don't want his children living and settling for a mediocre, average Christian life. He has promised a life that is abundant. The Bible says in Isaiah said unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Jesus said, I come to give you life and life more abundant. And God has a place and it's a prepared place, and it's a place of promise and victory that he desires for his children to be and live. And so this evening I want to look at this account where Israel passed over and passed through the Jordan. And as we do, I want to offer all of us some hope. What seems impassable and what seems impossible, with the help of God, we can cross and we can land and live in this place of victory. So as we look at Joshua 3, and we'll touch in chapter 4 if we get to it as well, but how to cross your Jordan. It's three steps that we must take to guarantee that we'll be able to get past the obstacles that block us from entering into our Canaan. Every Christian can cross their Jordan by understanding the following truths. Number one, we need to examine the message. There's a message found in the text, verses 1 through 13. God delivered a message, and we need to examine what God has to say about a subject. I've found in my life, I've tried to navigate and tried to, I'll see a place I want to go spiritually even. And in my own ingenuity, in my own intellect, I will try to figure out and plan and map out a way and sweat and strain and go hard as I can go to get there, just to end up futile and end up really wore out and standing in the same wilderness that I started. But God has given us a message. God has given us a word and His way, and His way is prosperous. And His way will not leave us standing where we started. It'll get us there. And this message involved a challenge. Verses 3 and 4, let's look at it again. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priest of the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, and about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. When it come to time for the people to move forward across Jordan, God had a message that they had to hear. And they had to heed if they were going to cross this Jordan. The words they heard, they were challenged to do three important things. These three things were designed to help them follow the Lord in a better way. These are the same things that we need to hear and to heed as we try to cross our Jordan. Number one, what was the challenge? To watch God. Right there in the text, they were to keep their distance. They were to leave where they're at and to take up and follow after. But right after he said that, he said, but stay back so that you can see where God is and where God's leading. And so if we're going to cross our Jordan, we can't just go headstrong and barrel in and just run after it. There has to be an understanding. We got to hear God before we haul off and go. And we've got to pace ourselves and steady ourselves so we can see God and where he is at and where he's leading. Notice the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned some 7 times here in this one chapter. The Ark, you remember, is a special piece of furniture in the tabernacle that symbolized the presence and the power of God. Well, when the Ark was in the Holy of Holies, the glory of God rested upon that place and the dwelling. It was known as the dwelling place of God. To Israel, it represented God's presence in the midst of his people. In other words, when God moved, they were to move. When God stopped, they were to stop. And so there is a valuable spiritual lesson in the passage for me and you. And we would do well when we face times of crisis and when we need direction in life to learn to be sensitive to the movement of God. We cannot pass a Jordan this wide and this turbulent in and of our own strength. We don't have the power. You ain't a good enough spiritual swimmer. The waters are too deep and the current is too strong, and we must be sensitive to the moving and the power and presence of God, and be willing to be patient and wait when he says wait, and to be willing to move when he says move. It's a fact that God loves you and me, and he's going to show us what he's doing. He's not up in heaven. I've said this before, but he's not up in heaven playing peekaboo and hide and go seek. God ain't playing games with us. He will show and reveal himself to us if we will simply be sensitive enough to slow down and look for him and watch the Lord. John chapter 5, verse 19 says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." And so we need to watch God and watch God's movement. That's part of the message he's telling us to examine. Not only watch him, but we got to follow him. It ain't enough to watch him. You say, yeah, I seen him. And how many people come to church and God moves in power and God's presence is manifest and he's everywhere. And I mean, people are getting help and people are getting saved and people are getting revived and helped. And some sit on a pew and watch. Never stepping up and saying, "Here I am, Lord. I'm willing to follow. I'm willing to get faithful. And I see you, but I don't just see you. I want to move and I want to follow you." When they saw the Ark of the Covenant move, they were to leave their place and go after it. And boy, when we see God's presence and God's power, I believe it quenches the Holy Ghost of God when he comes and blesses us with his presence and manifest his power, and we just sit and watch and are not willing to rise up and to move when he says move. And I'm not talking about going somewhere. I'm talking about moving in here. I'm talking about moving your hand and saying amen. I'm talking about moving your lips and saying praise the Lord. This ain't a mausoleum. I don't say this much, but we need to get out of our prideful lethargy and learn how to praise the Lord. I'm being dead serious. If our church is going to grow, if we're going to be attractive, and we're not here to be attractive to the world, but we should attract the world. And if they come by and happen to grace us with their presence and stop in and look in, they ought not to see a funeral procession going on and see a bunch of people who claim to have eternal life and we act dead. No, they ought to see and hear there's life in here and that we are exuberant and we're excited about having our sins forgiven, and we are grateful and thankful that we are no longer going to hell. I mean, when our youth group stood up the other day and sung, I'm not going to hell, they should have been a congregation of people that are saved, that is not just a song that we're hearing, but that is a reality that we're experiencing. And we ought to get involved in that. We ought to get excited about that. Amen. You say, oh, it don't matter. It does matter. You say, you got Bible for that? I'm glad you asked. God inhabits the praise of His people. He might come habitate more if we would praise Him more. Amen. Well, that wasn't part of the message, but it was part of the message. Not only were they to watch God, they were to move after God. They were to pursue God. And that's what the Christian life is. It's a pursuit. Again, the lesson for the believer is that it isn't enough to know what God is doing. There comes a time when we must leave our place and get involved in what God's doing. Again, this may require us to leave, and it does. It ain't may require. It does require us to leave our comfort zone. So I'm just not comfortable lifting my hand. Well, leave your comfort zone. I'm just not comfortable saying hallelujah. Leave your comfort zone. Let me tell you what keeps your mouth shut. Pride. Tell me one thing that's right about you staying quiet to a God who gave His life and bled and died for you and saved you and forgive your sin and give you a home in heaven forever. You can't give me an explanation. Israel was about to follow the ark through a river that was over a mile wide. They couldn't have been, it couldn't have been easy. It wasn't a mile wide stream. It wasn't a peaceful creek bed. No, it was a raging, roaring river. But it was, though it wasn't easy, it was still right and necessary. If they were going to cross it. Following God may not be the easiest thing you'll ever do, but I promise you this, it'll be the best thing you've ever done. Amen. If you ever expect to get past your obstacle and enter your Canaan, your place of promise, you must learn to watch God and to follow God. Not only watch Him and follow Him, but this message that He's telling us to examine requires us to honor God. Notice the Israelites are told to stay at least 3,000 feet behind the ark. This was so that they could easily see what was happening ahead of them. And another reason is that the Lord wanted no one but the Levites near the ark. So what's the significance of that? We ought never to be guilty of treating God like one of our friends. Like just one of anybody else. No, He's God. He's a thrice holy God. He ain't just the man upstairs. He's not just some other God. No, He is Jehovah God. And there must always be a holy reverence and a fear of the Lord in our hearts. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God help us to never allow our spirit to of familiarity with God to cheapen our walk with the Lord. Simply put, these three things are most easily accomplished by learning to walk in the Spirit of God. That is, learning to give control of our life to the Spirit of God and to follow God as He leads us through this world and as He leads us through His Word. He has a message, and we need to examine it. I promise you, if we'll learn to follow, He will be faithful to lead. And so, it involved a challenge. Come at the message. And then, it involved a command. Look at verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. We ain't going to see the wonders of God until we are willing to sanctify ourselves, to we're willing to accept the command given. The people were told, sanctify yourselves. This referred to being sure that they were as clean and holy as possible. They were to put away anything that was displeasing to the Lord. They were to examine themselves and get ready for the Lord to do something great for them. Things that God blessed them in spite of themselves, and God not overlooked or not winked at, but things that God lived with in the wilderness, God was not going to live with in Canaan. There are things that we're going to have to lay down. There are things and if we're going to make this crossing, God's saying, there's some things I'm not going to allow on the other side. There's some things that's not acceptable. There's some things that I'm not okay with. There's some things I'm not going to live with. If you want that so bad, you can stay on that side and wander. But if you want victory, if you want to live in Canaan, if you want to live in my abundance, then there's some things that's got to go. Lord, help us all with that. Lord, help me with that. If we ever expect to get past the Jordan that arises in our life, we're going to have to learn that the first thing we must do is examine our lives and make sure we're clean. May the Lord help us to realize many of the things that happen in our lives prevent us from walking as a Christian in victory. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Listen to Hebrews 12, verse 6 through 11. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are ye partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. God said, sanctify yourselves. And this is I'm preaching to me first. But if you want to get in on it, you're welcome to. God said, either you can sanctify yourself or I can help you. And I promise you, as hard as it is for me to sanctify myself, for me to lay things down, for me to clean things up, for me to watch what I touch and watch where I go, and as hard as it is for me to stop things I've been doing, it's way easier for me to stop them than for God to have to step in and beat the devil out of me and stop them for me. It goes parallel with where God said, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. In other words, God gives us a chance. God gives us an opportunity to do it ourselves. But if we don't, I promise us all, he is well capable of humbling us. And I've been on both ends of it. I have humbled myself in my lifetime, but I've also had God humble me. Door number one is way easier, doing it ourselves. Boy, aren't you glad? Ain't you glad God will forgive our sin? Ain't you glad 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible? If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this involved a challenge, and it involved a command, and it involved a commitment. Look at verses 9 through 13. We'll have to stop here. We'll get through the first point. A commitment. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Gigashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites, all them ites. God said he'd drive out. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord, the Lord of the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, and the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. The message to the Israelites reminded them that getting across Jordan did not rest on their shoulders, but on the Lord's. It was his plan. It was his desire. It was his working to get them over their problem. God ain't leaving us in our problems to deal with in ourselves and of ourselves. God's saying, I realize it's a problem. I realize it's insurpassable. I realize it's too wide for you. It's too strong. It's too powerful for you. That's why I'm going to intervene for you. And if you will follow me and understand that I've commanded you and I've committed to you, and I'm going to see to it that you cross over. What a commitment from the Lord. It was his plan to get them over. And God's saying, it's my problem. I'll deal with it. It ain't your problem. If you'll just follow me and watch me, I will see to it you end up on the other side. Let me say this. We're talking about an insurpassable river. We're talking about how to cross your Jordan. And a lot of times in problems in our life, we think, I'll handle it. I'll take care of it. I can get through. I can wade through. There's some Jordans in our life that we'll face that are just as incrossable and insurmountable as us getting to heaven on our own. There's some things you'll face in life you cannot pass, no more than you can get to heaven. And thank the Lord, I ain't depending on my own strength to get me to heaven. I'm going to be in heaven one day, absolutely, because Jesus is going to carry me. And the same faith that I have placed in him to see to it that I land in heaven one day is the same faith that it requires for me to follow him as he stops the waters and heaps the waters up so I can cross an insurpassable river in my life. It requires faith. It requires us following him and having confidence that he will carry me through and he'll carry you through. He's going to bring us through this powerful in a powerful fashion. God commits himself to bringing his people across their Jordan, and that was required of Israel, and all that was required of Israel was that they trust God and have faith in him. Can I remind us all this evening, God ain't changed. He got the Israelites across, he can get you across yours. If God could be trusted then, God can be trusted now. Don't the Bible say he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? If he's ever done it, he can still do it. If he was willing to do it, he's still willing to do it. He's no respecter of person, and if he'd done it for Israel, he'll do it for you. So whatever you come in tonight facing that looked impossible, there ain't nothing too hard for God. A lot of people were about tomorrow, but the Lord said in Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We were over material things, yet the Lord promised in Matthew 6:25-33, I'm not going to read it all, but if we'll just seek him first and his righteousness, all these things, he's going to make sure you got what you need. Food on your table, clothes on your back, a place to lay your head. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That electric bill may look like the Jordan River. That house payment may look insurmountable. God's going to supply your needs. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Many worry over so many things, yet the Lord tells us that worry is a sin and that our duty is to trust him. I close Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The bottom line, I'm done. Jesus is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's all-present. He knows what you're going through. He knows everything there is to know about it. And the Bible says in Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Matthew 8:26. Romans 4:21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's the message, and we'd do good to take heart and receive it. Amen. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us to examine the message this evening, Lord. Next week, we'll look at how to expect a miracle. But, Lord, this week, let us just take this one thought, simple, straightforward, God, as we are looking at a Jordan River, God, that we cannot cross in and of ourselves. But, Lord, thank you, God, that you can cross it, Lord, and you can carry us over. And I pray you'd help us all to receive it, Lord. I pray for those that are hurting tonight, God. I pray for those that are struggling. God, I didn't mention it earlier, but I want to now. Lord, I pray for Preacher Fowler, God, and Miss Ann. Lord, I pray you'd touch them. God, as they're staring at, Lord, the impossible, God, I pray you'd comfort them, Lord, this evening. God, bless them, Lord, encourage and strengthen them, Lord God. Go before them, make the crooked places straight. God, I pray you'd help them. God, I pray the same for everyone that's here, God, and every family that's represented. Lord, touch us, Lord, and help us to receive your word with thanksgiving. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, God bless you. Go